Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew 13, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Charles Dutton is an actor that you probably have never heard of, but you've seen him dozens and dozens of times on television, in films, and if you've possibly even been to New York, you may have seen him on stage. But for many years before he became a very successful character actor, Charles Dutton spent time in prison for manslaughter. A reporter once asked Dutton how he made the transition from being imprisoned for years to becoming a very successful actor. And he replied, "Unlike the other inmates, I never decorated my cell." Dutton never thought of his cell as his home. And it raises a question fair for us to think about for ourselves. Where do you think of as your home? It's natural for you and I to focus on life in the here and now, because we have to survive and we want to make the best we can of our lives here. And the reality is that our lives can be filled just taking care of ourselves right now, right? It's easy not to think about our future, whether that has to do with our old age and providing for that financially and otherwise, or whether it has to do with thinking about the future in terms of what about what happens after death, if anything. It's easy to think of our physical life as our whole life, and to make our life on earth our home. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 1 through 2, the writer says to Christians, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for, the scripture continues. In verses 8 through 10 of this same chapter, the writer says this to us in very poignant kinds of terms. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God." This city that's termed in verse 16 of that same chapter as a heavenly country is a vision of God's kingdom. As we heard from Matthew 13 just moments ago as Wayne read it to us, Jesus impressed that God's kingdom is the most valuable thing that we can obtain, that it's worth everything that you and I have. But that's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult for us to think in terms of giving up everything that we have, everything that we can see. It's difficult to believe that we need to give up everything that we think we must have. It's difficult to think in those terms and to think in terms of exchanging it for something that we cannot see, something that we really cannot imagine, something that in our heart of hearts we're not even sure is real, and something that we're told but that we can't grasp that we must have. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in verses 1 through 5 and then again in verses 10 through 16, we find a reflection on this ongoing human struggle as it introduces us to Jesus. There we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." That's why Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom unlike any kingdom that anyone in all of humanity and all of history had ever seen, had ever imagined. We need a greater vision of life than the kind of vision that we see in the life that we live here and now on this planet. We need the certainty that the whole of life does not end with physical death. We need to accept that there is more than can be understood by human minds that's in a future life. We need to know these things are true because God exists, because He created us, because He takes care of us every moment. We need to know that God wants so much for us to live with Him forever that He planned to do the only thing that makes that possible: sacrifice His only Son to purify us from our sins. We need to see as clearly as possible that kind of God who is willing to make that kind of sacrifice to give us that kind of future. And folks, that is good news. Amen? We need to understand that God is the ultimate king or ruler, and the ultimate king or ruler of everything that exists. So His rule or kingdom is over all that exists, the entire universe. Psalms 50 says that every creature and the whole world belongs to God. You and I don't typically think in those terms. Now, we might accept that that's true in the ultimate sense, but we think in terms of people and countries or corporations owning the things that are here, don't we? We think in terms of owning certain things ourselves. After all, we buy certain things, we sell certain things. They're ours as long as we have them. We may not own our house outright, but we're buying it, so as far as we're concerned, we own it. And that may be true of any number of things. Some things that we own, we wish we didn't. Some things we'd like to get rid of, and we can't. But as far as we're concerned, we own them. But in reality, we realize that when we came into this world, we owned nothing. And when we leave this world, we take nothing with us. It all belonged to God before anybody got here. It all belongs to Him anyway, even with us here. But we cannot limit God's kingdom to the physical. To do so is really underviewing who God is and what God is. After all, God's kingdom is much more than physical. It's spiritual. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." This is the kingdom vision that God proclaimed. And that, too, is good news, isn't it? Would you like to live as long as some of the patriarchs did, the better part of 1,000 years on this earth, with all of the illness, with all of the potential for accident and impairment, with all of the sadness that goes with the death of loved ones, and with the destruction of things that you've built? Or would you rather live the 80 or so years that we're given to live here, and then spend a forever that we can't imagine in a place that has none of that sadness but nothing but joy? Wouldn't that be far superior? That's good news. That's the best news that we can have, isn't it? Jesus taught God's values and standards as requirements for people who would live in his kingdom. In God's kingdom, character is more important than positions and power and prestige. So in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, in what we typically term the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught how this character is lived out in every person's daily life. In God's kingdom, childlike humility is highly valued. Releasing our material wealth to help others and to follow Jesus is a kingdom value. Faith in God, faith in God's person, in God's promises, and in God's power expressed through his love is a kingdom value. Having great joy when people repent of their sins and are reconciled to God is a kingdom value. Showing mercy, showing faith in God's care, and making personal sacrifices to show love to others are just some of the kingdom's greatest values. All of these kingdom values and more that Jesus taught are good news because they bless every one of us as they're exposed and lived out in everyday life. God's kingdom values create an alternative vision for Christ followers. That's something for us to let sink in for just a moment. That God's kingdom values create an alternative world vision for you and I who are Christians. Rather than what we see at work in this world, not only in our own time, but what we can learn about historically, and what you and I can well and legitimately imagine for a future well beyond our physical life here, is not a particularly wonderful vision, is it? It's not a particularly positive, encouraging vision, is it? Oh, there's certainly encouraging things about it, to be sure. But we know, too, that there's so many things that are negative about it, things that we would love to see changed for the better. And although we may argue about what some of those better things are, we all agree that life could be better. We would like to see and live and have a better life for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. But this alternative vision that God presents is different even from the best that you or I could come up with, or that any number of people thinking collectively could come up with. This vision is one that is singularly from the mind of the superior God. And that all climaxes in Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, when he calls for us to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Well, that sounds very poetic, doesn't it? But the reality is this clashes with our human values and our human visions. After all, you and I each have certain things, a group of things that we value highly that are very much connected to this earth. And we have visions of what we would like to see happen in our lives. And those may be small visions or a collection of them. We may have some very large visions for ourselves. And in all fairness, the visions that we have of this life may include other people, many other people. And they may be grandiose and they may be in the very best of hopes for other people. But our vision and our values are small compared to what God has in mind, under the very best of circumstances. Our idea of trying to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness goes against our conventional wisdom. It goes against our survival instincts. It goes against everything that you and I see in this world. And that's why God confronts us with a vision that you and I must see in 1 John in chapter 2 and in verses 15 through 17. There God speaks through Jesus' follower, John, and says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." That's quite a contrast, but it very well encapsulates the reality of the life that you and I live in. We have to live in this world as long as we have a physical life. We have to live with the realities of this world. And those realities are stressful. There's certain demands put upon us that we have to cope with. We have to live with. We have to move on through life with. We may not like them particularly, or we may. We may find ourselves grudgingly living them out, or we may find ourselves wholeheartedly pursuing them. But they're connected with this world, and the more we get caught up with the things of this world, the more distant we become from the vision and the values of God's kingdom. So how do we change our world vision and values from what you and I see and believe to the vision and the values of God's kingdom? How do we seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness when it's really hard to see them as both real and practical? How can we see this business of God's kingdom values as good news? The only solution is for us to put aside our wisdom and put our faith in God. When we do that, God will give us the insight that we need into His kingdom and His values. And that's what's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 14, where another one of Jesus' followers by the name of Paul writes these things. "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Each of us who are Christians must come to see and to embrace the vision and the values of God's kingdom as good news. Frankly, on first pass or second pass or maybe many more passes, they may not seem like good values to us. They may not seem like a good vision because they are so utterly different than what we've been raised with. They are so utterly different than what we've come to expect and accept as the norm. They're so utterly different than what we've come to believe is necessary for life here. But God calls us to a higher vision with higher values that really make this life so much better. Better than we could ever work it out for ourselves. You and I who are Christians must grow to understand that we must seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. And then we must do that. It cannot be simply an ideal of some kind. It cannot be something that we say, well, someday, somehow, I'll get somewhere close to that. It really is a matter of a decision. I'm going to choose God's kingdom with its vision and values for my life today. And from this day forward, I'm going to push aside any vision and values that have to do with this world, because I don't want to get caught up in that and separated from the vision and values of God. I'm going to seek with all of my heart and with all of my effort and with every day of my life, God's kingdom and His values above everything else. As we do that, I urge us, every one of us, to triumphantly speak and model God's kingdom vision and values to every person we can around us. Because as we do, we're going to be given more opportunities to share this good news with others. We're going to have more of an opportunity to show people through our lives that God's kingdom values and vision really do work, because they're working in our lives. Jesus came to proclaim God's kingdom, to hold it up as the most valuable thing that we can be part of. He came to explain this kingdom and its values as they reflect God's mind and heart. And perhaps best of all, Jesus came to model this vision and these values in His life, to show us it is possible to live that kind of life with that kind of vision and those kinds of values in a way that draws people to God and in a way that raises life to be its very best, the life that God envisioned for every person on the face of this earth to live. Everything that Jesus taught, every miracle that Jesus performed, everything in His life expressed the good news of God's kingdom. So Jesus was God's messenger. He was here to tell the world that God wants everyone to come into His forever kingdom. He was here to tell everyone that therein is God's love and God's joy and God's peace, and we can partake of all of it. And not just momentarily, not just for a day or even a lifetime as we know it here, but for forever. But not everyone is willing to accept that. And they do so as they reject it to their own peril. In Matthew 13 and verses 47 through 50, Jesus talked about this in terms of the kingdom. He says, "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's not a picture that you and I want to think about. That just doesn't fit with our vision of how life ought to be. It doesn't fit with our vision of what God ought to be. But it does fit with the reality of God and His kingdom and the perfection that He is and that He has in mind for every one of us. It is not difficult to enter into God's kingdom. But since He is the King, we have to obey His rules to enter. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So what is God's will? In Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16, Jesus said to those who had followed him the longest and the closest, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Have you done the Father's will to enter His kingdom? Are you continuing to obey Him as a way of life? Have you caught vision of His kingdom vision and kingdom values? Is it a way of life that you have chosen to live because you've chosen to live with God. If you have, your life is reflecting God's will and word to everyone around you. You are truly that light on a hill. You're radiating the light of God. But if you're not, why not? Why have you rejected the one who loves you so much, who sacrificed so much because he loves you so much? If we can help you to come to him or to come back to him, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.
I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know as I onward go. I must needs go on to the blood-sprinkled way that